We're going to have a great show. Tim Smith is coming in at, well, he'll be calling in at the 3:30 mark.
Yep, 3:20, 3:30.
He's a conservative-oriented African-American who was down at the Bernie Sanders rally, and so we'll get a report what that was like. I thought it was pretty impressive. They got 11,000-plus people.
Yeah.
Biden's coming in, but he's just going to a fundraiser.
Yeah.
No, it's true. He's going to Ken Salazar's in a fundraiser,
I don't know how big Ken Salazar's house is. I don't think they could fit 11,000 people
no,
in there.
Probably
though.
Not. No, probably not. But there's probably not 11,000 people who want to give to Biden right now. There's probably not 10 people who are dying to give money to Joe Biden. But Elizabeth Warren's coming in also, I think, on the weekend.
That's right.
And she is going to Fillmore.
That's the one downtown, right?
The one downtown.
Auditorium downtown. I was at a boxing match there.
It's not an auditorium. It's a, yeah, I guess it is.
It's an auditorium.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's where she's going. So they're all coming in, and the president, of course, is coming in, I think, Friday.
Yes. Yeah. So busy week in Colorado.
We're just right in the middle of all
this. That's right. Hey, want to let folks know, we're going to be talking about a lot, so feel free to call in. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You can also go in via Zoom. You can go to bbsradio.com, the Chuck and Julie Show, and it's got a link there. Otherwise, you can go to zoom.us, and the meeting number is 209-576-423. And you can join us. We had our friend Ben Nicholas did that via Zoom, so you can hear and see us. It's like we're all kind of sitting around the table talking. And finally, want to let folks know, you can always log on. We're going to have to put a thing up on our website explaining all this, but there's so many ways.
I think we promised to do that before.
You have no excuse to not listen to Chuck and Julie. ChuckandJulie.com will get you anywhere and everywhere you need to go. Also, we're live streaming this on Facebook, so you can go to the Facebook page, which is Chuck and Julie on Facebook. And then also on Twitter, follow us, Chuck and Julie 1, because I keep things going up. So I think we have, I'm going to put our glasses on.
Yeah,
we've got a video guest coming up. A video guest joined us, Cesar Juarez. Hey, Cesar, are you calling in?
No, this is not Cesar. This is Tim Smith.
Tim Smith. You know what? Hey, Tim, let me do me a favor so we can walk everybody through this. If you're watching us on Zoom, if you want to click the little, do you see on the left-hand side of your screen, there's a little video camera? If you click that, I think your face pops up too. I'm not sure. Do you see it?
Okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can do that.
Ladies and gentlemen,
since he's here, maybe we'll start out with Tim.
We're going to start out at 3:30, but hey, you're here early. So
All right. We have to get this done. Chuck, I want to tell you, I'm honored to be your friend, my man.
Well, I'm honored to have you as my friend.
As well as your lovely wife, Julie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you were down at you're a conservative leaning. Is that fair? I mean, I'm not sure exactly how.
Wait, quick shit in the table. Chuck always shakes the table, so it looks like we have an earthquake.
Me and Bud Chuck both shaking. So what happened? I was with Marcus Weaver Kep Jackson over the weekend. Uh-huh. Every other weekend, he comes to get my son to give me a break. He takes Jackson for the weekend, and they treat him as family. So when I went to pick him up, he invited me VIP status to the Bernie rally.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, there's not enough sense down there, you know? Not enough brains down there. 11,000 people with no brains. What am I going to do there? Mm-hmm. So, as a friend, I went along with him. He got a chance for a round table with Bernie, as well as Brother Jeff Farrar and all the other, Tay Anderson, those folks were there.
Wait, and let me interrupt for folks who aren't familiar with all those people. You don't really get much more progressive than those guys, right?
Tay Anderson is always kind of. I think we met him at the 921. He was shooting at us or something like that.
You know, it's the same old rhetoric, you know. Yeah. So, but I was so disgusted at the rally. One of the things that Bernie did is that he had the round table with special invited guests. So he separated.
How big a round table was this?
What's that?
How big a round table?
Well, it wasn't that big. Come on.
like ours here. Not very, but
five
we had to
people,
sit like this.
50
everyone,
people.
Everyone had to sit
yeah.
really
yeah,
close.
Yeah, well, it was about 40 people, 40, 50 people. Different people from the community. So what he did, he separated the races. He spoke with the black people separately, spoke with the Hispanics separately, spoke with the whites separately, spoke with the Hindis separately, spoke with everyone separately. I'm like, what kind of nonsense is this, you know?
Right. So, why couldn't you talk with them all at the same time?
Yeah, you're right. Right. So not one group is knowing what the other's saying to each other. Bunch of nonsense. So once the rally came out, And he came out with the big fanfare, rah, 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 let's go. And all them Democrat liberals were going crazy. They're running out of breath, you know. And he started off saying, Trump is a bigot. He's a racist. He's a billionaire. Okay, that's well, right. Maybe. So one of the things that disgusted me about that is that it was so negative.
Yes.
So negative. And I don't know about you two, but any leader that I choose to lead me or that I'm going to follow, I want some positivity. I want something to come out and say, this is what we're going to do. We're having trouble. We're having problems. I don't want to hear how bad the other guy is. That doesn't do well for the society or the system. I just don't understand that.
Let me back up a second, Tim. So, folks, if you're not watching us on Facebook Live or watching us on Zoom, Tim is an African-American man. Now, well, how would you describe
you
your – Yeah, you think – and you're a bowler. And how would you describe your support about Trump? How do you feel about Donald Trump? Do you think he's a racist? Well, do you support him?
Well, I tell you what, Julie, Chuck, is that back in the 80s and 90s, there were two camps as we're growing up. There were two camps that people wanted to emulate. One was Donald Trump, and the other one was John Gotti. So the ones that wanted to emulate Trump, they wore suits and said, I'm going to be a real estate mogul. I want to be Donald Trump. The gangsters, they wore suits too and said, I want to be the Teflon Don. So those are the two folks that were praised back in the 80s and the 90s, Donald Trump and John Gotti. The African-American community loved Donald Trump back in those days. You won't see it now, but they loved Donald Trump. They praised him. They supported him, if I can remember correctly, a lot of real estate agents became what they were because of Donald Trump, because they want to be real estate moguls. Now we look into today, everyone hates Donald Trump. For why? Because he did what any other person that saw the hypocrisy with the money would do. He took over the White House. He showed them that they were part of the same hypocrisy. He's part of the hypocrisy as well. And he had a problem with them. So he used his billions to become president of the United States. I don't think this man ever had a Boy Scout badge. It is impressive what Donald Trump has done.
And he didn't spend all that much of his own money, to tell you the truth.
Well, what about, do you think he's a bigot? I mean, you know, when they talk to you, when they say he's a bigot, because I know you've gotten kicked out of your barbershop, for instance. they're never going to let you back in, Tim.
Haven't had a haircut in weeks. You're right.
Right. What do you think? Is he a bigot? What do they say that they think proves that he is a bigot?
Well, first of all, I don't know the man. I hear people call my friend Chuck a bigot. That I can defend.
Yeah,
I can defend that, you know? Come on. You know, he lets me come through the back door of his house. Oh, I don't know. So I know Chuck. Okay, so when they can say something about him, I can defend that. I know you, Julie. I can defend you. I don't know if Trump's a bigot. I have no idea what he is. What I do know is that all those rap singers who spend many days in his hotels and his estates, who are all black back in the 80s and 90s, ask them if he's a bigot, because Trump actually hobnobbed with those guys for many, many years.
Yeah.
I don't think a person becomes a bigot overnight. I don't believe so. So therefore, from what I know of Trump or what I've seen, I can't say he's a bigot. But even if he was, he has a right to be. That's okay. Has nothing to do with his qualifications to run the country. It really doesn't. So I think that's to put that jacket on the individual is just unfair to him and anybody else.
Well, what did you think about the at the Bernie rally? How long was the official rally?
Well, I got there at 4 o'clock. The roundtable's at 4:30. After the speeches and the entertainment came out, then Bernie came out. And after 20 minutes, I couldn't stand it anymore. it was 20 minutes of how bad Trump is. And you know what? And what I want to hear from any leader is, what am I going to do? This is what I'm going to do to lead. I'm going to lead this way. This is what I'm going to do. This is the direction I'm going to take you. And I want humility from a leader. I don't want arrogance from a leader. Most of the leaders that I recall reading about and studying about, such as Harriet Tubman, John Brown, which no one ever mentions him. John Brown, we know John Brown, the abolitionist. No one ever mentions that guy. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all the Jimmy Carter, for Pete's sake, goes down as the worst president of all time. But yeah. Those men were humble. They were extremely humble and self-sacrificing.
Right. Well, that's an argument for a different day. I can see Chuck going, because we wanted to get your pulse on the Bernie crowd. Do you think, so you just rattled off the people you talked about there, some pretty high profile, very progressive, but African-American leaders in the Denver community. Do you see him going for Biden? Let me put it this way. Years ago, when Hillary Clinton was running, I covered a lot of the Hillary Clinton-Bernie Sanders thing, and the Bernie Sanders people did not like the establishment candidate. They did not like Hillary Clinton, and they weren't going to vote for her. Did you get that same sense there? I mean, what do you think?
Well, since then, I got the almost 11,000 people there, they were really passionate about it.
Yeah.
I don't see anything that would have struck me as to say, okay, I like this guy. He is the guy. Yes, this is the one I'm going to support. I don't support any of them, but I didn't get that from Bernie. I didn't get any feeling from him because once you become to me, once you are negative, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to hear you.
Well, I remember reading some reports on it. And they said, you know, the Green New Deal, and he'll Medicare for all.
Yeah. Well, okay. How are you going to do it? Okay, we've heard that before.
Tim, I tell you, he's going to tax you, and he's going to tax me and Chuck. He's going to tax Jackson and Rev when they get old enough to be taxed.
Yes. Well,
that's a shame on them when take away our golf lessons. Shame on them, you know. but that's fine. Now, I'm with Caesar. Just working with Caesar. We're putting our invoices out, and we're going over things. And Caesar said to me, he says, Tim, okay, that's all fine, but how are you going to do it? Tell me how. You want free health care? Okay. How are you going to accomplish that? You want free education? Fine. How are you going to accomplish that? Now, we've had president nominees and different ones, governors and mayors, and they said, we're going to do this. But they never come to fruition because there's never a plan as to how they're going to do it.
Well, I mean, you can look at some of his heroes in life. And, you know, he went to the Soviet Union for his honeymoon, Bernie Sanders. and back in 1930, you know, Stalin said, we've got to collectivize all these farmers. Some are doing pretty well. We've got to collectivize all these people. They go, how are you going to do that? Well, he did it. Now, he starved to death around 20 million people. and so,
that was rough on some.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure Bernie could do it, and we'd all get no health care, you know? Yeah, he could do it.
What about it, Chuck? What's the quality of it?
That's a different deal. That's a whole different deal.
So, you know, you can't fool me with that. Now, that's what those liberals and Democrats don't realize. Yeah, we may be able to do it, but the quality is going to be so substandard. Let's go to Canada, for Pete's sake. Go across the bar and go to Canada.
Or Venezuela.
See how the long
Venezuela. Line. It's great healthcare there these days.
Socialism.
You've got to bring a goat along to pay. But
people are dying to wait to see a care provider over there.
Let me ask you this. Are your friends then, your progressive friends, because if people don't know Tim Smith, you're probably like one of the only people in Denver that doesn't. I mean, everybody, when I work at Fox, everybody knows Tim Smith.
If you haven't been to a Nuggets game with him
I canceled my tickets a couple of years ago because of the mistreatment and the arrogance of those guys.
Oh.
Well, there you go. But are your guys, do people you know, are they going to, so we got Elizabeth Warren is coming.
Yes.
Bloomberg's kind of here. Are they going to?
Well, I love Bloomberg. He's not coming because, you know, we have Fox. We have farmers here and other things he doesn't like.
Bloomberg opened up his office last week.
He's got a whole new office here, and he's not going to come, but he's got a big office here. The ads, you can't get away from the ads. We ought to get one of his ads for our program.
Here's what Marcus Weaver said about Bloomberg.
Okay.
He's just going to throw money at it. That's all he's doing. So people are not really into Bloomberg. Let's face it, Denver's a good town. Yeah, we need a little cash. But, you know, you can't buy everybody in Denver.
Most of them.
I don't know. You ask the mayor that.
Yeah.
Do
you see your guys, would they support Elizabeth Warren, do you think? Or are they kind of like Bernie Sanders or burn the bridges?
Well, I think Bernie Sanders is Bernie Bridges. I think I'm hearing a lot of support for Bernie.
Okay.
Not Bloomberg. And there is talk that I don't believe anybody can beat Trump. I just don't think that can happen. I think you're going to have to do something other than what you're doing to beat Trump. But there is a consensus that only way that Trump can be beaten, possibly, if Bernie and Bloomberg team up.
Ooh.
The B&B team, huh? The B&B team.
But they'd have to protect billionaires.
But who's going to be the vice president? I mean, who's
Hillary
gonna be?
Clinton?
You know, they're thinking of what folks are talking is that if Bloomberg is the vice and Bernie is the pres, and with the money they have, that's the only chance that the Democrats will have.
I agree. You might as well have some good diversity on a ticket. It was just, so you've got one guy from New York, another guy was born in New York.
Two really old white guys.
Two really, really old white guys. And it should be, that'd be a fun ticket.
We always have to wonder, why would anybody want to be president of the United States?
Get bored.
Why would you put yourself
through that? Got bored, you know.
No, you could go to Daytona 500 if you get good seats.
but Chuck, who would put themselves in a position, willingly put yourself in a position, with all the money that you have, willingly put yourself in a position for criticism every day, being watched in a fishbowl? Why? That's what we have to think. Why would anyone choose to do this willingly? Now,
I can see if the masses
of the people went to Bernie, said, Bernie, we really want you. We really want you. Well, they didn't do that. He comes down and said, hey, people, you want me, don't you? You want me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he first comes down and says, here's $100. Do you want me? You go, well, yeah.
Well, that's what Bloomberg did. He opened up the office. He threw money around. And I got to give credit to some of those liberals. They told him, take your money, get out of here with it. You know, some did not, wasn't too kicked about that.
Well, the Brownstein law firm kind of likes him.
Well, the establishment guys.
Oh, the establishment
guys. What do you think? Wellington Webb, former Denver mayor.
Yeah, he's always selling out. That guy is one of the great.
He's an African-American.
He's a bloomer.
He was missing last night. He wasn't there last night. Nor was there Lisa Calderon. No Candace DeBaca.
Really?
Oh,
no Candace DeBaca?
He was there last night.
Wow, that's kind of
they're communist,
not socialist. Candace DeBaca is a self-proclaimed communist, so maybe.
Well, Bernie is too.
He's a fake. You're right.
We'll have to have you back, and because we'll let you go now, because I know Tim is working, and thank you for figuring this out. For a couple of questions though, the Zoom thing for folks who were kind of thinking about doing it, that wasn't that hard. We figured it out. You figured it out, right?
Yeah, I got Caesar, of course.
There you go. You got Jackson. You got your
doing invoices, and I said, Caesar, can you help me with this thing? How do you do this thing? So he figured it out. He made it easy for me. Caesar is a war veteran, Afghanistan, Iraq. Interesting story. I want to. I'll share with you guys some other time. Wonderful guy. Saw a lot of action. What's unique about him? He was instrumental in helping rescue Jessica Lynch. Yes.
Wow.
And we'll talk about that another day.
That's a story for another show.
Very fantastic.
That'd be
story
great.
There.
Bring All Caesar right. on.
Well, Tim, thank you for coming on. Thank you for braving the Bernie Sanders rally.
Well, you know what? I met some interesting people there, pretty nice people. You know, I kept my hands in my pocket so they won't put their hands in there.
Yeah, well, that'd be tough there. A lot of people reaching for other people's pockets.
Come on, you know what Democrats do. I know how they're going to do it. They're going to take the money from you, me, Rev. Jackson, even the homeless people, they'll take money from them.
Anybody. If you got a buck, give it to me.
Tim, thank you, sir.
Good to see you.
Let's get together, go bowling again, my man. I really enjoyed that with Rev.
All righty.
Let's do that. So a friend of mine named Alexis, she wanted me to say hello to her. I think she's listening live somewhere.
Well,
and she introduced me to her mother today. I haven't had a date in 8 years.
Wait, stop right there. So Chuck has been thinking about launching the conservative dating website on our show, too. So you're
Oh, really? Is that serious?
But you just kind of launched it. So you've got to say to
wait. So we got me and Peter, all right? We got me and Peter Boyle. We'll both be there.
Best of the best.
Yes. All right, folks. It's a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. And I will work on your lights.
Okay.
Talking about lights,
all right,
folks.
Thanks, Tim. Go ahead and to the producers at BBS, we can turn. I don't know how you do. Tim can leave the meeting. No offense, Tim.
Well, talking about lights, people may have noticed a different decor back here. We said we're going to do every room, including the bathroom. We get some great verb sounds, but we are now down in the entertainment /
workout.
We got all the weights back here. We got the big screen TV, the couches, and so this is.
And we're kind of playing you know, with the lights.
You can call it our subterranean gala area or basement. That's another word for basement.
Well, it's the new, it's the world headquarters of the Chuck and Julie show.
Yeah, as of today.
That's right. Okay, oh, so this is from Anil Mathai. Cool, relaxed guy. Is he conservative or a Democrat? Relaxing interview. I got to say this. If you don't know Tim, you will soon, because Tim, know anywhere you go, people like say, Tim, yeah. Tim. I mean, right. He's one of those guys. I would say that Tim has described himself, as you said, conservative leaning. I don't think he doesn't
like to vote.
He doesn't like any politicians, but he's gotten kicked out of his barber shop.
Yeah, for saying some things that are not, you know, left wing.
For refusing to hate Trump, yeah, and for being friends with people like us and saying, no, they're not racist. He's got a little boy who's a year younger than Rev. And he said, and I admire this, he said, I'm raising Jackson to be a man, not a this kind of man, that kind of man, but to be a good man. And so Tim is one of the most common sense people I've ever met there.
Right. So anyway, welcome to our subterranean gala location. We'll do this for a while, and then God knows where we'll go next.
Then I'll figure out what
we'll go next. Today is President's Day. And in honor of President's Day, we have a Twitter war among two presidents, which is always fun. Barack Obama, who's been, you know, traveling the world with rich people and big islands and making tens of millions off Netflix.
And speeches.
11 years ago, near the bottom of the worst recession in generations, I signed the Recovery Act, paving the way for more than a decade of economic growth and the longest streak of job creation in American history than his signature pen and the official Obama signature. If you remember, I certainly remember when
I don't think it was that great. Maybe I'm not sure. Didn't he say that we're never going to have very much in the way of economic growth? That maybe if you had
manufactured jobs are gone forever. And
get used to being poor.
All that.
Your 401k.
And during his first 2 years, all he ever said was it was Bush's fault. Bush's fault, not my fault.
Right.
And the Recovery Act, we did in the Chronicle, we did this whole breakdown. You know, you actually could break it down.
Oh, it did. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I just interrupted you. Sorry, I get excited there.
Well, go ahead. What it did.
Oh, but it did is all it did is go to his Democrat crony friends.
Yeah, it went to teachers' unions. It went to, you know, local unions, either firefighters or other ones. It went to Planned Parenthood. It went to every Democrat one. No Republican got a penny. No need for that. And it really was. You know, he said we have shovel ready projects, and we didn't actually do it.
They didn't do anything.
It was just a Democratic
giveaway.
Well, maybe
what he meant by the tweet was it was a decade long, in that it took over a decade to kick into effect, coincidentally, when Trump took office.
Right.
That's what he's trying to say. So what did Trump say back?
He said, President Trump, this is from the White House, President Trump reversed every single failed Obama-era economic policy, and with it reversed the floundering Obama-Biden economy.
That's just kidding. Okay, so that's just... That's not it, huh?
It's Kelly McEnany. You know her.
Kelly McEnany.
Obama and Biden orchestrated the worst economic crisis in modern history, she added. By contrast to deregulation, lowering taxes, and supporting the free market policies, President Trump has created the hottest economy on record, with unemployment hitting generation lows and low-time lows for African-Americans.
All-time lows.
African-Americans, Hispanics, disabled veterans, and many other hardworking Americans. It's just great. But boom, 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 boom.
Well, here's the thing. This is my advice, Barack Obama. There's that. But secondly, don't get in a Twitter war with Trump, right? Barack Obama, first of all, he doesn't really tweet it. He's got some intern, who tweets it, who's going to be politically
somebody
correct.
Somebody from Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who runs it through eight or 10 PC, PC communities to make sure that they're not offending anyone, which is really hard to do these days if you're a Democrat. People are offended constantly over all kinds of stuff.
But not Obama can.
Well, no, I guess he can't. But you notice he coincidentally failed to endorse anybody there, right? I mean, Obama's been really quiet in all of this.
Well, who's he going to endorse?
Well, you think his vice president. Although, if you're Obama, you're like, look, I talked to Joe a lot when I was in the White House. If you want to go with that, that's okay.
Man, that guy didn't have the whole deck of cards, when I had them, today.
Bloomberg is kind of, I don't know.
Well, Bloomberg, it was interesting. Bloomberg did not endorse Obama in 2008, because Bloomberg back then.
Was he Republican?
Uh-huh, and he didn't endorse
Obama.
Well,
that's a minor issue.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I didn't endorse you, but yeah, I'm sure they'd get along. And he probably likes, there have been articles about he likes Elizabeth Warren. He'd Obama? Prefer her. Yeah.
Well, but he doesn't want to pick. And I just don't think he wants.
He wants to pick out whoever wins, as long as it's.
And he doesn't
claim that he did it.
And he can win another Oscar at Netflix. 888-627-6008 if you want to call in, or you can text us to 888-627-6008. I find it interesting, though, that Obama. I wonder if there's pressure on him from establishment Democrats to somehow try to save the country. I mean, first of all, nobody believes that, right? The Democrats wander around talking about how awful everything is and how we're all doom and gloom, and with that ridiculous response to the State of the Union, you have to go out with a pitch, a bucket and a shovel and
potholes with dirt. It's only benefiting,
that doesn't even work.
It's only benefiting rich people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bezos, Zuckerberg,
Soros. So if that's the case, how come Obama just wanted to help rich people? I mean, obviously he's saying, this is great. I've really done this to you.
Screw all you poor people, minorities.
Well, you know, they can't have it both ways. That, you know, the good part of it we love. And then if it's, we say it's not helping middle class people, Obama didn't have anything to do with that. No.
No, well, I can see, too, the DNC calling up Obama saying, please, can you
just
see?
Shut
we're,
up.
Well,
just
not, shut two up. Things. First, they probably were saying, we're dying here. Can you help us? So he's like, okay. I'll tweet something cool about myself.
Yeah,
and then they're like, no, that's not what I meant. That wasn't helpful. Well, let's talk about something that once again, this is, it's kind of funny when you look at the hypocrisy. I mean, so
well,
president,
I want to talk about the president's victory lap.
That's what I was going to.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to set it by saying first, so Obama goes to basketball games when he was president. Obama golfed.
He did a kind of a girl throw at one baseball
right,
game.
Right, he did all that. And everyone said, oh, hooray, hooray, hooray. So Trump goes to a sporting event.
You're wasting. That was a political rally. Who's ever heard of the Daytona 500 anyway?
Yeah, I mean,
that's ridiculous. We could see there are that many people there, so it had to be a Trump campaign event, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
It was. Sure, he had all those people there, but he always does.
And cars around.
That was just that's unbelievable. They did that.
The mainstream, the corporate media, Maggie Haberman with the New York Times is tweeting that he's using public funds for a political event. It was a Daytona 500.
Well,
it's not a.
Remember the last time, she said that they can't believe their Edelweiss. She thought that was a Nazi era song, not an anti-Nazi song from Sound of Music. Doesn't anybody know where Edelweiss come from? I mean, people,
we're talking about.
You don't.
A few months ago, several months ago, Maggie Haberman tweets. The Marine Corps band, as people are kind of doing something, walking in and out of the White House, they're playing Edelweiss. I like that song. But anyway, so she tweets that she can't believe at the Trump White House they're playing this sort of Nazi propaganda song. So she got smashed. First of all, it's a Marine Corps. They're playing it. They're not. It wasn't Trump. Had nothing
they're
to
Nazis,
do with it. Yeah. Second of all, Edelweiss was written solely for the Sound of Music. It
by
had
two
nothing
Jewish guys.
By two Jewish guys. That's right. And it was an anti-Nazi song. It was played as the Trapp family was leaving their
Austria.
Homeland, Austria. So, excuse me.
But now she's saying, this now is a Trump rally. Nobody's ever heard of the Daytona 500. Daytona 500. That's just a scam. It's a scam. It's a rally. It was a Trump rally.
It was a Trump rally. So I thought it was cool. And I have not watched very often the Daytona 500, but I wanted to see it. And Trump did it in his great way. He kind of landed the plane. Although I was talking to another guy who said Bush did the exact same thing when Bush came in. Apparently, the airport and the racetrack are like literally right next to each other, right? And he said, he goes, I don't know why they're getting on Trump for making a big deal about landing, because he said Bush did that too. So, and Bush said, start your engines. So
that's them.
This is Trump.
It's totally different. No, and everybody, they were going beside themselves.
The corporate media freaking out.
Oh, my God. They're kind of going, I don't know what this Daytona 500 thing
is. Yeah. Is that, look at all those people.
And they said, the only reason he went there is just to, because he wanted to kind of shill this thing. And then people go, well, he actually went to the Daytona 500 four times.
Before
when he was
a
private
president,
citizen.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. Sure. But he was just, he knew he was going to run for president in 2000, almost the last time he was there. So he went down there just to get ready.
Well, and I mean, it's not like nobody goes to the Daytona 500.
Absolutely nobody.
Right. I mean, it's just like it's a mass. What do they had 200,000 people?
Normal crowd. Yeah.
One of the most popular sports, if not NASCAR, not the most popular sport. So, I mean, if I were president,
Then he took the
the beast around
which that was, they won't tell you how fast it goes, but I'm sure it's got some Ferrari engine.
That was kind of cool, a little bit lame, but it was cool. I mean, I was thinking if I were president, and here's the thing, Trump gets so much grief for everything. It's like, I'm going to go to the Daytona 500. I'm going to wave to the people. And then he did not make a political speech. I don't know if you saw it, call us and tell us what you think. 888-627-6008 or go ahead and text me. I mean, he just said, God bless America, whoever wins. You know, we love America, and gentlemen, start your engines. You know, I guess maybe they could say it was sexist because he did say gentlemen, start your engines, even though there weren't any women racing, that's sexist.
Any transgenders
too.
Out there, we support you totally.
He didn't say cis, whatever.
Yeah, cisgendered people.
Cisgendered people. That would have taken him 20 minutes to say all the people he has to say.
And I'm glad he didn't come out like George W. Bush did in a flight uniform instead of a NASCAR thing, because he's a little big, and it would not look good looking. They wanted to put 45, he's the president, number 45.
Right, on the
on
car.
On the beast, and that was it.
That was kind of, but I mean, I thought they did, like, I mean, that kind of thing is cool. And, you know, one of the things I talked about when I first started this podcast is one of my sort of life philosophies is, yes, we can agree, disagree passionately, vehemently, loudly, angrily sometimes. But in the end, I think we all have to remember there are way more things that connect us than divide us.
That's
and
not,
I think
well, that's, election season is not the best.
Well, let me finish. I think that's one of the reasons that the mainstream corporate media hated Trump for doing this. Because if you were just the average person, the average Joe, or Jan, sitting at home watching NASCAR, which a lot of people do, not particularly politically oriented. I mean, even the race car drivers are like, look, don't hate on me, but the president came and shook my hand and took a selfie with me. I think that's kind of cool. It is kind of cool. And the Democrats want us to forget that. It is cool, no matter what party you are. The president of the United States, it's an office that has an honor and a respect and integrity. And now people are going to say, oh, not with Trump, but no, with anybody. And it's cool to have the president of the United States. It's cool whether you like the war in Iran or think we should get out of Afghanistan, whatever. But it is cool and it is patriotic and it's moving, don't you think? When you see Air Force One land, when you see the flyovers, I mean, that's just cool. And when you see 200,000 people who probably actually disagree about a lot of different stuff, they're including who would win, who they would vote for.
I would think that that's probably his crowd.
Well, it is his crowd. But I mean, what I'm saying is these are people who, though, probably cared, at least you would agree, to a varying degree of caring, right? But to see everybody united, it's like cheering for something. Why not give us? And that's what Trump does. Trump gives us something we can all cheer for. Unless you're a Democrat, then you just absolutely hate him. But that's what they don't get. People like to have something to cheer for. People like it when Trump goes out there and he gives it would have been wrong if he gave a political speech, and he didn't. He said, God bless America, keep the racer safe. I wish I could get in the car, start your engines. I mean, it was just cool and kind of fun.
Yeah, they hate that. I mean, they drove them nuts. And Maggie Haberman was just going off the wall.
Well, they have no sense of humor.
Well, no, we just figured that one out. It was just incredible. It was they were just salivating. They couldn't stand it. And so you kind of go, what an event. And it's in Florida. And Florida's one of the, you know, that's his home now.
Right.
And it's one of the key states for him to be out, take the presidential election. So pretty good move.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good move. On the other hand, somebody had a...
You keep taking the table.
Well, it's a hurricane. The hurricane's going back. It's buffeting the house and all that. The other thing that happened for another billionaire from New York, it was not a good week.
It was
not a good week for our favorite friend, Mike Bloomberg. Mike, a lot of the tapes. You know, Mike got out of... I forget when he ceased being mayor, maybe 2012, 2013. And so he figured, hey, I'm never going to run again. So I'll just tell him the truth.
I'm just going to say all kinds of wacky things that are true. Right.
So he had a lot of great little sound bites. His favorite one was that.
The stop and frisk where you want to throw African-American men up against the wall.
95% of all the crime in America occurs because of African-Americans or minorities between 16 and 25. Just throw them against the wall and frisk them. And, of course, you know, as they
probably could have put it better in hindsight.
Yeah, he said, you know, if you have a troublesome guy, throw them against the wall, plant a gun on them, and then you can throw them, you know, you can just put them away for a couple, 3-5 years. And it works.
Then
great.
He attacked farmers.
And then attacked farmers.
And then he says, it's so stupid. I could teach anyone to farm. Now, I'm going to say this. My dad was a farmer. My grandfather was a farmer. What did he say? You dig a hole, put a seed in it, cover it up, and water it.
Forget the fertilizer.
Well, I'm just going to say, there's a little bit more to farming than that. You know, you kind
not
of
not according to him.
No, not like him. You just go to Whole Foods, right?
Yeah.
Just, this farming stuff is easy. You just go to Whole Foods and you put it in
your
basket.
How many farmers are in New York City? None.
Right, right. So you don't need to care. But he said stupid stuff like that. Here's what I want to ask you. So people, I've heard Democrats say, well, Trump said stupid things too, bad things that could come back to haunt him. But to me, there's a difference because number one, Bloomberg's are stupider, I would submit. Number two, Bloomberg, Trump was saying them to Republicans who have a little bit of a sense of humor, who have a little bit of tolerance in them. Bloomberg is saying these, and he's the Democrat candidate where everything is a litmus test, right? And unless you're like a walking robot like Pete Buttigieg, and even he has trouble, I don't know. I think he was saying, well, people will forgive me once I get into the race. Do you think they're going to forgive
yes,
him?
Yes, of course.
You do?
Of course they are. Of course they are. I mean, the you know.
No, not the establishment, the voters, I guess.
Sure. Not a problem. I mean, you know, Northam, the governor of Virginia, blackface, Ku Klux Klan, you know, everything else.
We're over that.
Oh, he said he's sorry.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly has to quit forever.
Yeah. But you know, he's okay. And I loved it when some of these black leaders, Al Sharpton and everything else, said, well, he said he was sorry. Now, come on.
Yeah, Wellington Webb.
Wellington Webb. Hey, he said he was sorry. And you kind of go, well, what about the thousands and thousands of, you know, 16 to 25 year old people he incarcerated for decades, or at least
he's learned.
See, yeah. He learned. So you get to really hollow out an entire Mount Hardy community by taking all their young and sticking him in
Frisk him,
where they can learn. If they weren't criminals before, they're criminals now. Once you get into the system, and just put them away. And all I can say, you know, his apology was like 30 seconds. You know, I didn't realize the pain I was causing.
Well, here's
okay. Well, why don't we shove you in a prison for 5 to 10 years and see how much pain you got? I mean, I didn't realize. Hey.
Here's the thing. I think you see, we had a friend, Democrats, right, just Ted Trimp, who's, I think, a self-acknowledged establishment Democrat guy. Right, Ted just wants to win. He is throwing down for Bloomberg. We had Doug Friedman.
Well, not yet. He's more.
Well, open. But he's kind of easing into it, right? We've got Doug Friednash, who's a Democrat.
Great guy. We love him. And of course, he you know, the Brownstein firm couldn't get into the Bloomberg camp faster than they possibly could.
We could work for them.
Billionaire, Norm?
But, I mean, what are you doing? He was on Hickenlooper's staff, Michael Hancock's staff. He's saying we like Bloomberg. So what you're seeing here is the establishment. And all of a sudden, you're kind of seeing some of the corporate media folks start saying, you know, Bloomberg's not that bad. They hate Bernie Sanders because they're afraid he could lose
to Trump.
I think Bloomberg has issues, though, because, I mean, coming up in Nevada, is he going to be able to debate? Excuse me, is he not going to debate? I mean,
he wants to debate. They just need to change the rules to make that happen. Just make it happen.
Mike can do it, right. I mean, here's the trouble. It's one thing to run for president when you're a billionaire and all you're going to do is throw money at it. The big question the Democrats have is, number one, they're a party who really doesn't like people throwing money at it.
No, they just like to pretend they don't like people
that's
throwing
money.
Well,
the voters. I think Bloomberg. I don't know. I think Bloomberg is going to be coming down. Right now, nobody's been taking too many shots at him. But all of a sudden,
now,
if you're Bernie and you're Elizabeth, you're all of a sudden he's like in your sights now. You know?
Well, I hope he's on the debate because I think they'll go after him. They had nothing to lose. It's one thing if you're part of the original group, everybody wanted to be anti-Trump, but I think you can just pretend that Bloomberg is
well, and it's going to be hard to walk it back, right? It's going to be hard. So the Democrats themselves, I think the Biden camp, they're the ones, I think, releasing some of those race videotapes, and they're out there. It's going to be hard to pretend once he gets a nomination. Oh, no, he was just joking about all that, right? I don't think
redlining.
I don't think so. Maybe want to talk a little bit about.
I want to finish this up. I mean, Michael Bloomberg, I don't know when he got his divorce, but he got a divorce and he was footloose and fancy. He says, I was in Manhattan, a straight white guy billionaire. You think I didn't make out great? And the other could see that. I'd do her in a second. And he gave all these kind of comments, and including the famous abortion one where a woman said, hey, you know, I'm pregnant, expecting a child. Said, kill it. I said, I didn't say that.
No, she made all that up.
Yeah, but if he thinks she made that up, wait till all the women he dated. I mean, they're all going after him. I'm sure he's got every one of them signed up for a non-disclosure agreement. But they're going to find some who'll just say,
"Well,
he did me, and you know, sodomized me." Well, that's what they're going to say.
Why would you have somebody you now you're a lawyer even, but yeah. somebody you date sign a non-disclosure agreement right there? That should raise some questions. The fact that he had people who he dated and work for him sign a non-disclosure agreement, like number one, like that's going to stop anybody with the book deals these days. But right there, that should raise some questions.
They also paid him money, so they go, I don't want to give money back.
Oh, there we go.
Unless somebody can make a better offer.
We've got Karen Cataline, our colleague. Colleague at when we were at KNUS, a colleague here at BBS Radio on the line. Hey, Karen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, you two. Boy, I love seeing you 3 days a week. I can't always watch, but boy, it's just great to have you, on 3 days a week. There was a little bit of a bump in the radio there. Who is it who makes them sign a non-disclosure agreement?
Bloomberg.
Who they date? Bloomberg does? Well, that's part of what I was going to say. I was calling to talk about. I got to tell you, one of these candidates is worse than the next. They're all terrible. They're all socialists. Democrats are going to try to turn them into moderates. They're going to try to position somebody as a moderate. None of them are remotely moderate, but there is hardly anybody I detest more than Michael Bloomberg. It's hard. It's hard to. You know, it's such a...
Let us count the ways, Karen. Let us count the ways.
Oh, God. You know, number one, the cluelessness, the arrogance, there is not a remote bit of moderateness in a guy who wants to control your life and tell you what to do. Did you happen to see that video where this was on Facebook. I'll have to send it to you. Where Michael Bloomberg, when he was mayor, was doing a Peter Pan cameo.
Yes. And was he that, said something, I thought that was like a fake video. That was real?
No, I don't think it was. It was really him. And they flew it. Who knows with the internet today, but they flew him into the sky, you know, into the rafters, saying, "I'll shape everybody up." And this is a man who not only is he tremendously awful on the stump, that's why he doesn't want to be on the stump until the last minute. You hear his voice and you say, "Who the heck is that?"
Right.
Both Bloomberg and de Blasio have destroyed New York. I don't think permanently.
Well, de Blasio has done a better job.
Temporarily.
Well, yeah, de Blasio is endorsing
Bernie Sanders,
right?
Yep.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
You know that old phrase, Chuck, when your opponent is destroying themselves, get out of the way.
Yeah, right. Go to Daytona.
And go to Daytona. I had such a hard time writing my piece this week. I went through like four different topics and finally settled on Buttigieg's comments regarding late-term abortion. First abortion piece I think I've ever written, because possibly like you, Julie, I made a change. I really did.
Yes.
I was always pro-choice on libertarian grounds. And after the governor in Virginia and after lighting up the Empire State Building in New York City, I said, that's it. I've had it. I can't support this anymore. These people aren't responsible. They're not grown-ups. And you're starting to cheer infanticide. So I just wanted to write. I don't know why I'm mentioning this. I guess I'm giving.
Well, no, because I was because I was going to ask you about your column. You sent it to me, and it's a great column. So tell folks about it, and then at the end we'll let you tag where they can hear it.
Well, thank you. Western Journal picked it up this afternoon. They love changing the title, but that's okay. I love when they pick up my pieces. So they did change it, but basically it was something to the effect of, Buttigieg is. Is a limited government person, but only as it relates to abortion and infanticide. You know, they speak the language of freedom, only about abortion. And it's stunning. If you could communicate with them on that level and take all those things they say about freedom and about the government getting off your back and ask them about, well, what about your lungs? What about your spleen? What about the government controlling whether you can have a colonoscopy or not? Do you care about that? I mean, that's the thing I wanted to sort of zero in on there.
Well, and you know, let me ask you this, Karen, and you may know, because you're right. I did evolve, as I have, on the abortion issue as well. But one of the things I just don't get is why the Democrats think it is a winning argument to say you can kill a baby after it's born, right? I just don't get it.
Exactly, Seth.
Well, but that's what they're saying. And I just don't.
You got to make them comfortable, though.
It's, I mean,
when they come out of the womb.
Right, make them comfortable.
Make them comfortable then, and then start doing consulting. I mean, don't do, you know, okay, like Rev, he had the umbilical cord around his neck. Well, that's okay. You know, don't worry about that. Just consult. Everybody say, you know, I don't, kind of a ugly looking kid, I think. Well, yeah,
this would be a hassle.
Just leave him there, but make him comfortable. You know, say, hey, Junior.
Well, that was the Virginia governor's position. But Buttigieg, Mr. Lecture Everyone on the Bible, could not bring himself to say that killing a baby that's either on its way out of the womb or after it's born, he could not bring himself to say that that's morally wrong.
But he's moral.
These are the people that want to control you and me.
Here, and we're talking with Karen Cadolin here, colleague with us at BBS Radio, has her own show, Spouting Off, on Tuesday mornings. But Karen, you know, in Colorado, they're trying to pass the gathering petitions, which we have signed, that would essentially ban late-term abortions. I mean, and like, if the baby's born alive, you have to leave the baby alive, right? And I am surprised at the vehemence with which some of these activists are opposed to that. But I got to think, again, the coveted white suburban women, of which you and I are members, right? You'd be like, wait, so you want us, you want to kill the babies after they're born? I think, why are they fighting on that front? I just don't
get it. Because they can't give it an inch. You know,
well, I know, but I mean, I just think that's a loser.
I think that if they cared what people who disagree with them thought, they wouldn't be wielding such insane power down under the Gold Dome in Denver. They have completely detached from representation into dictatorship. We have a legislative dictatorship going, and they...
You have a state. No, it is no Republican will ever, in the foreseeable future, win a statewide office with ballot harvesting. It just won't occur. And the Republicans don't seem to get it. I mean, they're just reading a 2004 book or something. I mean, they go, I read Blueprint Colorado about the 2004.
Yeah, they're reading it in Wyoming now.
Keep up. Yeah, how's your 2004 computer doing?
Cell phone.
It really, and the problem is that when you build success upon success, we're talking about power upon power, and when you own the state, it empowers and emboldens you even more to go even more radical.
Yes,
so
and
you've
they have.
Got, you know, there isn't anything that they think is beyond their grasp. And what I would say is, even though Colorado looks grim right now, I haven't become quite as cynical as Chuck. Because
it's not cynical. I run elections.
I run elections
without harvesting, without ballot harvesting, and it's a different election.
Donald Trump,
your opponent doesn't know or able to utilize ballot harvesting. They're dead, and that's the Republicans go ballot harvesting.
But I'm with Karen. I mean, I still maintain because there's otherwise we have to leave. There's still some hope, Karen. Let me ask you before we let you go, where, because you're on Tuesdays, where can people find you, get your columns? Because you put great columns out. They get picked up all over the place.
Thank you. I'm really having a blast. And I'm happy to say that tomorrow, when I do Spouting Off at 11 a.m. Mountain, 10 a.m. Pacific, and 1 p.m. Eastern, will be my 100th show of Spouting Off.
Wow.
How do you like that? We can't wait. You're going to do it 3 times faster than I did because you'll be doing your 100th show, I don't know, next Tuesday. But for me, I just think it's a milestone, and it so happens that I'm having my longtime friend, I've known him over 20 years, Michael Sabbath, who is out there doing all kinds of interesting things. I met him when I was walking door to door and running for office in 2002. And I knocked on his door and we became friends. That was it.
There you go.
Wow. Wow.
So, all right. Yes. And you can go to my columns everywhere, but just go to KarenCataline.com and find out what I'm up to. I'm always wrestling up trouble. And I love talking to you both. It's a stream of consciousness that I enjoy.
All right. Well, Karen, thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for calling. Tune in tomorrow at 11 o'clock Denver time.
Don't want to miss it.
Starting off, just go to bbsradio.com. You know, on the abortion thing, because I have come to agree, Karen initially got me thinking along these lines. And what do you think? I think that it is part of that, along with the whole transgender thing, right? There's more controversy coming up now. A marathon or a transgender, so a biological male is going to be competing in a marathon, in the women's marathon, right?
That'll be closer because there's not that much difference between men and women.
Well, here's the difference. I was looking at the arguments against it, right? And they pointed out that given the current times, that in the elite runner class, right, the number one woman marathoner would come in something like 90th.
Well,
of all of
bad.
The men. But I mean, it's not even remotely fair. I mean, a transgender biological male running a marathon against women.
I wish him the best.
They run about 16 minutes faster. But here's the thing. You want to ask yourself, why are they doing it? Why are they pushing this late-term abortion? Why not just leave that be, right? Why are they pushing the weird get rid of parental control and parental rights in Colorado schools? Why are they pushing this weird transgender thing, right? And I think Karen is right. I think a lot of it goes back to Soros and people like that who want to essentially cause chaos and disruption. I think they want people to say, everything's a mess. Donald Trump, we hate him. The country's a mess. That's what the Democrats keep preaching, right? You need us, the Democrats. We're going to take care of everything. We're going to be, you don't need a family. You don't need a father. You don't need a mother. You don't need any of that, right? You do need a dog, and you better follow all the rules to get your dog license, by the way. But I think that that's what a lot of it is. It's just disruption and chaos and uncertainty. And then the government, who runs the DMV, of course, so we know what kind of example we're going to be setting, will come in and take over.
Well, the other part of it, and I agree with that, the other part of it is you got the LGBTQ plus. What's the plus? What is the plus? The plus is a P, pedophiles. And there's a lot more pedophiles than there are transgenders. And they want to bring that. No one who's close to that would dispute that. They go, yeah, we got a lot of pressure from the big, you know, Catholic Church. They want to get in. They want to.
I should laugh. Oh God, I'm definitely going down. I'm gonna be hit by lightning.
Maybe some of them ought to be hit by lightning. But you know, it's a big P, and they've been dying to get that part of it. And they if we can get the transgenders in, everything else, and then go for the big P.
You know, when I was a TV reporter, I did a lot of stories on child sex assault, child sex abuse,
right?
And pedophilia. And I can tell you this, that people who are pedophiles basically would argue that they're born that way. Psychologists would argue that
mass
they're made. Well, let me finish.
Are born that
and
way.
That they love the children, right? And that all I'm
but
saying
what
is
do the children.
It's all a bunch of BS. But what I'm saying to you is, it is some of the they would argue, and in their communities they do, that they have a right to do this,
right?
And that it's their relationship, blah blah blah,
and the child has free, you can't force the child.
No, of course, the child's a toddler.
They'd say we make you cut it off, under two.
Well,
under
and again, two. And I think, and maybe, and that is an extremely scary thought if you think of it, but more than that,
well, I mean, 5 years ago, would you have thought this, where women, men racing and everything. You 5 years ago, could you have said, there are two sexes? They would go, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's now, hey!
That John Caldera gets fired. Well, then it goes back to, again, and that's why they hate things like Daytona. They hate, baseball. They hate golf. I mean, you watch the Daytona things, it's all, the racers are there with their families. People are there with their families.
Awful.
It's, I think once again, they want to cause disruption. They want to get rid of families because a family is a strong unit, right? And you look to your family, you look to your neighborhood, you look to your community. They're like, no, we want you to look to government. And I think that all of these things, and I guess I know it sounds like I'm a conspiracy theory, So pretty soon 60 Minutes will do a thing there to debunk me. But I think that there is a method to their madness. Maybe not everybody. Maybe not everybody at the Bernie. In fact, I know not everybody at the Bernie Sanders thing.
There's Tim.
But yeah, there's Tim. Well, and Marcus Weaver. Marcus Weaver is a nice kid. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. We've gone bowling with those people know, but there are people at the top, the Obamas, people like that. Bloomberg, right? I think Bloomberg would be very dangerous to get in because I think he's
I don't think he would at all. Really? I mean, no, because he's totally happy, kind of going, I'm going to tell you, you know, that you want that big soda? No. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's going to say you can't have a big soda, I mean,
but
what?
You can fly
in
a private jet and get a carbon offset.
Well, that's good. You know, that's fair. But it's just, he is such an authoritarian. I mean, he is. I mean, it's just.
Crabby looking too,
and a crabby authoritarian. You don't. Crabby you want looking. A happy authoritarian. Yeah.
So I think, in general, if you're a Democrat, things are dire, except in Colorado, and that's something else. We don't really have time to dive into this today, but I did want to say this. Maybe we could briefly talk about this. Jesse Mallory, who we know with Americans for Prosperity in Colorado, the Koch brothers thing. Koch brother. He's a very good guy and helps push a conservative agenda. But here's the problem. He has a great column, which you can't disagree with, up in Complete Colorado today. Mm-hmm. It's great. He outlines what should be the Republican agenda, right? And I like it. It's great. I agree with everything on there. Every common sense, reasonable person would be like, well, I agree with that too. The problem is the Democrats are looking, going, put it in the shredder. And they're like,
well,
ha, ha, ha,
also
we don't even have to worry
about
it.
What the Koch brother is for, which is open borders, destruction of American nationality, no tariffs to get Americans better jobs. It's Americans for Prosperity for the Koch.
But here's the thing I go back to, and we've talked about this, and we don't have time now, but Susan Beckman, who was kind of, she was a conservative,
candidate
who has now quit the legislature to work for the Trump administration. But she found out firsthand, she said the Democrats have a system in place. It doesn't matter who the candidate is. It doesn't matter what the issues. Ted Trimpa has said the same thing, right? We just want to win. And I think that's great, Jesse, that we're throwing in these columns about what the Republican agenda is and what we all want. That's good. People need to know what we want. But now we need to fight. Right now we need to fight.
No, you have to figure out how to win.
Right.
I mean, if you just want to give out papers saying, oh, okay, we believe in this, we believe in that, and you know, it's worthless. It's worthless unless you figure out how do you win. How do you nuts and bolts? How do you tackle and block? How do you throw a pass? If you don't know how to win elections, who cares what you write?
And I think that's take some of the money from Americans' Prosperity and not have so many think papers and maybe have some people knocking on doors or are figuring out who our voters are going to be, the unaffiliated voters of this election, and get them out.
Jesse's a great guy, but I can't, you know, Americans for Prosperity is just...
We need to take a lesson from Trump. Hey, that's going to do it for us today.
Oh, it's over?
I know. Can you believe that?
Oh, my God.
To chuckandjulie.com. If you missed the show, you want to catch the show, our podcasts, all the archives are on there. You can follow us at chuckandjulie1 on Twitter or go to Facebook because we FaceTime.
Or come by our house.
Come by. And you can see there. Thank you again to Doug and Don and all the great folks at BBS Radio.
We'll see you Wednesday.